During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Let's get this conversation started. On today's show, we're chatting with Dominique Clark, a certified matchmaker, best-selling author, relationship coach, radio host, and owner of D. Clark & Company, an exclusive agency that provides personal matchmaking services for the busy professional in search of lasting love. Dominique made a major pivot in her life when she decided to walk away from her journey to becoming a medical professional just after acceptance to med school to follow her gut and embark on a career led by the intrigue of love and relationships. She has gone on to author a book, She's Valuable, But Does She Know It? With a foreword by the world's most influential matchmaker and her mentor, Paul C. Brunson. And Dominique has also worked with notable brands, media brands like WeTV and iHeartRadio. So this conversation was so effortless and so free-flowing that I actually went off script for the majority of it. So I hope you guys enjoy it and be sure to pay attention, keep an eye and an ear out because I will be a guest on Dominique's radio show, No Strings Attached. So you definitely want to look out for that as well. And without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. So welcome to the show, Dominique.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to have you. You're a bit different from what I normally talk to because you deal with relationships in your day-to-day. And I haven't actually spoke to anyone who deals with like relationships and stuff. So this should be fun.
Nice.
So as you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience, and you've had your own SPQ experience, and I'd love for you to start us off by sharing a bit of your story with our listeners.
Yes. Yeah, so starting out, my goal was to be a medical professional. I wanted to be a doctor. And so at the age of 6 years old, I told my mom I wanted to be a pediatrician. And so she literally had me write down that goal, and we put it on the refrigerator, and she didn't let me lose sight of it, like ever. She's like, all right, you're about to be this doctor. You're going to be the first doctor in our family. This is going to be amazing. Mm. You're going to be the first person to finish college in our family. And so, you know, there was a little pressure there, but there was excitement too, that I even had that level of ambition to want to achieve something like that. And so middle school, high school, I went to a high school that had a medical program. So I was studying, you know, pre-med courses in high school. Then of course I studied biology. In college, I went to Hampton University and studied biology there. Internships and, you know, shadowing and jobs and research and all that good stuff, all to help me, you know, develop myself in a career in medicine. And although I loved it, I loved working with people in healthcare, and I was actually really good at it. I would later realize that helping people and improving the quality of their lives doesn't necessarily mean medicine. Mm. And that's what I thought. You know, I thought that in order for me to do that, it must have meant that I needed to go, you know, in medicine. And so I was working at Duke University, and I was in their year gynecology department doing research while I was in this transition, because I knew that I didn't want to pursue a career in medicine any longer. But my mother was really big on, well, what's your plan B? And I didn't have one. So I was sticking to the plan. and so God, I believe in Jesus, you know, Jesus is my best friend. And he literally told me, I was sitting at my desk, that you are bigger than this desk. Mm. And the gifts and talents that I have given you far exceeds the four walls that you're in. Mm. Don't limit yourself. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, of course, I had to share with my mom, hey, all the years that you've invested, you know, right. And becoming this medical professional, the first doctor in the family, I'm not going to follow through with that.
Okay, so what was that conversation like? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the toughest conversation I've ever had because, you know, as a young person, you want to make your parents proud, right? And you don't want to disappoint them. And she had invested literally, she was a single parent. And so she put everything into my sister and I for us to be successful. And when I told her, I'll never forget it, I was in the parking lot of P.F. Chang's. We were in the parking lot, and I was pregnant with my first child. I got married very young. I got married at 22 years old. And I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I told her, listen, I was in tears, and I said, I am not going to be a doctor. I understand that this is what you wanted for me, and at one point, it was what I wanted for myself. But I believe that God has shifted my, you know, thoughts of what the future looks like for me in terms of my career. And I'm going to give myself a chance and explore that, you know, and know that your efforts, the time and the things that you invested in me will not go in vain, but they're just redirected in a different, you know, in a different direction. She did not take that well. And I get goosebumps every time I tell that story because it was not even just a shift in my career, but also a shift in my relationship with my mother. You know, in her eyes at that point, I'd become a woman. You know, I had become independent and willing to listen to God and hear what he had to say to me and what I should be doing with my career, regardless of if anyone else understood or approved of it. And for that, she was proud, even though she didn't say it in that moment. later on, she was very proud. Later on, I decided to tell her that, hey, I'm going into the relationship space. You know, I want to be a relationship expert. You know, I want to help people improve the quality of their lives through love and relationship. Because for me, I felt like that was really more important than going to the doctor and putting a Band-Aid on something. And she got to see me speak at my first big speaking engagement at North Carolina Central University. I was speaking to a group of their female students, and my first big paying speaking job. And she was in the audience. And at the end of it, there was a line of girls waiting to hear from me and speak with me. And she was the last person in line. And at the end of it, she said, I'm so proud of you. And I'm sorry for pushing you to do something that you weren't called to do. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And that was everything for me and confirmation for me to keep going, keep listening to God and keeping my ear to him and staying focused on the plan that he has for me, even if it's not in alignment with someone else thinks that I should be doing or who I should be.
I love that. I mean, it seems like your mother was in the end supportive. Now, clarify for us exactly how far did you take things or did you go in the medical profession before you sort of like walked away?
Yeah, so I had gotten accepted to medical school. And when I got accepted to medical school, I decided I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to make this investment in terms of time. I got married young. I wanted to start a family. And I knew that if I decided to pursue medicine or become a medical doctor, that it would take me away from those things. And really, it was that I didn't want to do it. So I was trying to find another alternative. So I turned down my acceptance into medical school and I decided to apply to PA school. So I figured, you know, less amount of time in school, not as much as a commitment, but it makes good money still. Got accepted to PA school, which is physician assistant school. And then once I got accepted, I'm like, nope, this isn't it. I realized that no matter what I tried to do or how I tried to redirect myself within medicine, I wasn't happy. And I could not allow myself to invest any time, any more time or money into a career that I knew wasn't meant for me. And so I had turned down two acceptance letters into medical school and then one into PA school. And those were major decisions for me.
Right.
Major decisions because I could not predict the outcome of what my career in the relationship space would be. I was literally taking a chance.
Right, right. So talk to us a bit more about how you sort of made those decisions, like before you even went to your mom, before you, you know, like told anybody, how did you sort, what was your sort of process of, or did you even have a process of saying,
yeah,
okay, this is how I make this decision?
Yeah, I did. I was, like I said, I was pregnant with my daughter. And as I was pregnant, I was trying to figure out who I wanted to be as a mother. And who I wanted to be to her, and then who I wanted, you know, who I was going to try to help her, you know, become by the person that I was, by the woman that I was. And I realized that I was not living life for me. I was living life according to other people. Yeah. And when I found myself pregnant, getting ready to give birth, I'm like, there's no way I want to bring someone into this life and me not fully be me. And only all of who I am, if I expect her to be all of who she is and own all of who she is and really nurture and pay attention to the passions and the gifts that sometimes our parents can't see, you know? And so I, at that moment, I said, I can't do that. You know, I can't go into this next phase of my life pretending and being something and pursuing things that are not true to what I know I should be doing in my heart. And to give you a little bit more background, I'm married to my high school sweetheart. I've been with him since 16 years old. Mm. We just celebrated 8 years of marriage, and we are parents to two amazing girls.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And I feel like it was all on purpose. You know, it's not every day that you see two African-American kids who are deciding to stay together, not only through high school, but through attending two different HBCUs and believed in love and their relationship with each other that much that they realized that the grass could never be greener. And so we knew that God was doing something different with us, and we wanted to be responsible with that platform. And we saw that a lot of people looked up to us and asked us for advice. And we connected a lot of people before I even knew matchmaking was even a real industry. Right. And, you know, and so I knew that my relationship was not just something that happened by chance, but it was a part of my purpose. And it was a part of my responsibility, I felt, to help other people improve, not only in themselves, but how they related and connected with other people.
Mm-hmm. I love that you talk about how you started to really think about your purpose and moving forward in life when you were pregnant, because that's one piece that, you know, a lot of us who don't have children, we don't even, we haven't even gone through that portion of the experience yet, but it's so relevant because it's like, how can you sort of project this image of what you want, you would want your daughter to be onto your daughter when you're not even living up to your full potential? So it's sort of like being fake a little bit. Like, exactly. How do you do that?
Exactly. And that's why I said I could no longer pretend, you know, and I find that when you own all of who you are, that is when you start to live. That's when you start to enjoy life in its fullest, and you can be your full self without any, you know, hesitation or without any question, because you are embracing all of who God created you to be.
So I'll ask you this then, for those who maybe don't have children and who are on their journey to try and embrace all of who they are, understanding that maybe they're not quite doing it yet, do you have any tips for maybe how they can get started and what, or maybe some things that you did to start to embrace all of who you are?
Yeah. So one of the things I wish I would have done was, as I was going through my collegiate career, that I also paid attention to my passions, right? Yeah. I discovered that later, after I graduated and was already, you know, in medicine kind of heavy. Right. My piece of advice would be to still get your degree. I definitely believe in education. I think you should definitely do that because you always want something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. But as you're doing that, make sure that you're self-aware and you're paying attention to those things that really excite you, you know, to those things that really, you know, after you go to class, you're going to do that first. Or this, you want to write something down, or you want to go to the studio and record, or you really want to dance and release and be expressive, or whatever it is, pay attention to those things that are inside of you as you are pursuing, you know, as you're getting your degree. And what happens is, as you're doing that, you're not only getting that degree and preparing yourself for maybe a career in corporate America, but you're also nurturing your gifts and talents and the passions and grooming those, so that once you graduate, if you decide that, or even after graduation, you know, if you decide that, hey, I don't want to do what I went to school for, I want to do, you know, this passion or gift of mine, it's already to the point where it's developed enough to where you can now step out on faith and maybe start a business with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing it simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And that's something I wish I would have done because I would have saved a lot of time. But, you know, explore those gifts and passions now. Pay attention to them now and give yourself the opportunity to do that and create a space to do that so that you don't have any regrets. And so that if you get to the point where you're like, I know God is pushing me in this direction, you have at least developed it enough and explored it enough to at least confidently take that first step.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of your personal values that you think have helped to contribute to your success in business so far?
Yeah, I can't say it enough. Being true to me, I wrote a book entitled She's Valuable, But Does She Know It? Mm-hmm. And that book was very intentional, not because I thought it was a great idea, or not because I felt like the world needed another self-help book on how to love ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I found that, you know, as a matchmaker, the first question I ask my clients is, you know, why you, and what value will you add to a relationship? Mm-hmm. And as women, we struggle with that. You know, career-wise, we can tell you why, you know, how valuable we are because we've got the degrees and everything else to back it up. Mm-hmm. But personally, we struggle in that area. And I did that intentionally because I also struggled in that area. And I found that the ultimate prerequisite to dating and relationships is owning all of who you are, knowing your worth and value, and fearlessly communicating that, not only to men, but to the world, because it helps you in every area of your life. So understanding, one of the biggest values is understanding who I was, honoring who I was on the inside, and not being afraid to bet on me, you know? Mm-hmm. So valuing myself. Other thing is, man, having amazing people around you who are like steps ahead of you, right? Mm-hmm. I always felt like once I got into that space and I got to understand how other people thought, understood how other people moved, and I immersed myself in their conversations and their environment, it grew me a lot. And it allowed me to start moving differently and thinking differently about life and business and how I pursued my career as a relationship expert and matchmaker, and how I wanted to leave an impact and leave a legacy. You know, it got me thinking beyond just getting a paycheck and being popular. You know, it had me thinking about things that really, really mattered and how I wanted to align my life with those things. And so getting around people who are like 5 or 10 steps ahead of you and listening to them and immersing mm-hmm. yourself in their conversation and learning how they do things is something I really, really value and is really vital to anybody's, you know, success and career as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is family. You know, they are a part of why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. I love my family, and without their support, without their understanding and belief in me, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. And at the end of the day, without any job, they're all like, that's who I have. You know, when I close my computer down, that's who I have. So I value family. I value being present with them, seriously being present, really investing time with them, especially my girls, as you know how society is. It's so crazy now, and the pressures of being a woman.
Right.
You know, and all of that stuff. Being present and really just giving them all I got. Mm-hmm. So important to me, because at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, those are the people that are supporting you. Those are your cheerleaders. And those are the people who are allowing you to make the sacrifices that you make to even go out and do, you know, what you do. And so those are my top three things, you know, valuing. The biggest thing is me, honoring mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. loving me, surrounding myself by people that can really help stretch and grow me, and then my family, because without them, I can't do anything.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, very true too. So when you think back, just like, let's, you know, walk ourselves back in your mind a bit to when you first decided to take this leap and strike out on your own and go on this different path and this different route than what you sort of thought you'd be doing. What was your first step in establishing your presence in this new space?
Yeah, so I am very big. Like I said, I'm big on education. I definitely think people need to make sure they're still educated in whatever, you know, career or whatever field they want to pursue. Mm-hmm. So my first step was getting certified. You know, I mm-hmm. wanted to make sure that I was credible, that I was taken seriously in this space, and that I knew what I was talking about. So mm-hmm. I went and got certified as a matchmaker and relationship coach. And so that was step one. Step two, I went and got my MBA. I wanted to be well-versed in business and really understand it. It was a focus in entrepreneurship. And so I knew I wanted a higher level of education. And so I did that. And then finally, I got a mentor, one of the best in my industry, Paul Carrick Brunson. He took me in and I got to work with him directly with his team. You know, one of the, my biggest things is that I wanted to learn from someone who looked like me and who serviced the people that I wanted to serve. And that was him. And so I literally went up to him at a conference that we happened to be at. He didn't know me from anything. And I said, hey, you know, I'm Dominique. This is what I'm doing. Can you help me in any way? Mm-hmm. And he said, absolutely. You know, why don't you come on as an intern? My team is in the back. Tell them that, you know, we're going to sign you up as an intern. So I got to intern with him, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And he's still my mentor. And so, you know, having someone who has done and achieved the things that I want to achieve was also a part of that process for me and learning from them.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. How fearless of you.
I know. Listen, I told you my mom wasn't playing any games, so I had to let her know I was for real. Even though I was pregnant and married as an adult, I still felt like I needed to let her know that, hey, this is serious for me. It may, you know, I'm not out here trying to be a relationship blogger. No, not to minimalize it, but I have greater work that I'm trying to do in this space. Mm-hmm. And this is how serious I am about it because of the steps that I'm taking to get there.
Yeah, there you go. And if you're, when you're putting that type of energy out, you're getting it back, and you can't help but recognize someone when that's how they're moving, because it's like, okay, she's serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not like a game. This is not a joke. Like, she is serious and she's intentional with this.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to talk to you about is change, because we've talked about some of the changes that you've encountered, some of the things that you had to sort of deal with to push yourself forward to go in a different direction. But there's a lot of people that have this significant fear and that holds them back because of change. They're like, and sometimes I think people don't even realize how this fear is aligned with change. But do you have any advice, any things that you do maybe, or any things that you sort of have told, shared with other people as to how you can sort of combat that fear of change?
Yeah, well, first of all, we know we need to embrace it, right? I mean, change is inevitable. It's going to happen in every phase of our life. You know, there's going to be some major shift or minor shift, and we're going to have to learn how to adjust. And, you know, it's something that I even share with the couples that I coach. You know, one of the strongest strengths, the greatest strength that a couple can have is being able to harmoniously adjust when there's change, whether that is the introduction of a baby, the loss of a job, a new job, promotion, you know, moving or whatever. And I think that's even relevant to just everyday life. We have to be able to adjust, and even not just adjusting to the bad things that may happen or the good things, but being able to evolve also within your space. You know, even for me, and you guys will be the first to kind of hear it. I am shifting away from matchmaking, not because I don't want to be a matchmaker and not that I'll no longer do it, but God is pushing me in a greater direction, you know, in a different direction. And I am being obedient to the pull, right? And so I'm allowing myself to evolve even in the relationship space, because I'll still be in the relationship space, but allowing myself to evolve in this space to do other things. And, you know, I think the thing about change is that it stretches us, it allows us to grow, it shows us our full potential, and it really pushes us, I think, to the next level that we need to go or want to go in our career. So, or just in life in general. So I find that when you embrace that and when you realize it's just a necessary part of life and the process of life and entrepreneurship or whatever, then you'll be able to evolve, and you'll be able to evolve in a greater, easily, you know, easier way. And like I said, harmoniously, if you do that, you know, a lot of us want to fight change and be resistant to it because it's unfamiliar and we don't know what the end result may be.
Right.
But that's the excitement. That's the good part about it, because on the other side of it, you're like, wow, I never knew that I would get here. I never know that I would experience something like that. Or I never know I would meet this type of person. Mm-hmm. And so just embrace it and trust the process and realize that there's a promise on the other side of that that's greater than what you could ever imagine.
Right. And it's like, I always think of it like this. If the story of our lives was written down and there was a book of it and some secret book of it, like, would you really want to read it? Like, yeah. Do you really want to know, like, everything that is going to happen to you or supposed to happen to you? Like, that takes sort of the fun out of the excitement of life. It's like, that's why for me, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody who does it, but I've never wanted to go to like a fortune teller or a palm reader or anything like that. I don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know the good or the bad, because then I feel like I'm sitting here living in these moments where I'm anticipating something that somebody told me versus just allowing myself to go with the flow of life and be flexible with it. So,
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's when you hear someone else's story, it's those twists, those turns, you know, mm-hmm. that adds the excitement. You're like, wow, they were able to get through that. Or, yeah. you know, they were able, you know, that one thing actually catapulted their career from A to Z or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Those things are so necessary. And so we need to embrace it.
Yep, absolutely. And I know that, you know, although there's some good that comes out of change and things like that, sometimes when we make these big changes, we have these days where we're just like, what the hell did I do? You know, like,
yeah.
Or, and even if we haven't made a change, sometimes it's just those days where you're just like, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
And there's just trying and, you know, difficult days where you're just trying to keep yourself afloat because life happens and all kinds mm-hmm. of craziness. So what do you do? What are some of your things that you do to sort of keep yourself going when you find yourself maybe having a little bit of a down moment or just sort of facing a lot of challenging things where you're just not really feeling the most enthusiastic about things? What do you do to sort of like keep yourself going?
Well, the first thing is that I allow myself to feel every one of those feelings. You know, my mm-hmm. mom always said, you got 24 hours to be emotional. After that, it's time to get a plan together and get over it, right? And so I allow myself to feel like if I've launched something that, you know, didn't go well, or I didn't get a huge response, then it sucks in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. you spent time creating something that you know or you think is amazing and, you right. know, could help someone, and then if no one shows up for it, it's like, well, dang. And right. so then you're like, all right, now what? You know, and so then I have to figure out now what? And so I keep going and figuring out, you know, what's the next thing? You know, you just keep going. And I think it's just trial and error. You keep going until something sticks, and you don't allow yourself to sit in that space of, you know, woe is me, or this didn't work, and, you know, I wasn't successful here. No, you keep going, you know, mm-hmm. Diddy does it all the time. Can't stop, won't stop. And if he didn't have that mentality, I don't believe that he would be the mogul that he is today. We got to keep going and keep trying and figuring out what the next thing is going to be that's going to stick, and not allowing the disappointment of change or something not happening in our favor to keep us down, because we'll mm-hmm. never win that way.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the personal care things that you find yourself sort of doing to just maintain and kind of balance, let's say, your sanity?
Yeah. So I'm a real big believer in that you have to feed your soul with positive stuff. Mm. And so I'm always looking for ways to feed my soul. One of those things is through music. I'm a music lover. Mm. And like I said, Jesus is my best friend. So I have a balance between, you know, Jesus on the main line to Cardi B. So in the morning, I'm like, yes, let me get my mind right. You know, positive mm-hmm. word for the day. I believe in devotion. So I do a devotional of some sort, or reading something positive that's going to help me, you know, through my day, so that when things happen, I can control the way that I respond to it, you know, because mm-hmm. sometimes if you don't start your day with something positive in your arsenal to be able to fight the negative things that are happening, then you'll just allow that negative thing to derail you.
Right.
And so I like to start my day that way. And then reading, listening to podcasts. Man, podcasts are so dope, like this one.
Thank you.
Because I get to, as I'm working, you know, I'm also feeding myself and listening to other things. And so, you mm-hmm. know, you got to be aware about the things that you're feeding yourself. And so, that's me. I feed myself with positive things from the music that I listen to, the podcast that I listen to. When I get a chance to actually read, I'll read something or listen to an audio book. And outside of that, I'm hanging out with my girlfriends. I'm hanging out with my husband and just stepping away from, you know, some of the stressors of life or being an entrepreneur, spending time with family. And then me time, you know, yeah. There's times where I just don't want to be bothered with nobody. So I be by myself, you know, and whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
The other day I took myself out to have lunch and a drink, just me. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was something that felt good to me. And so, yeah, so it just depends. But I'm listening to things that are going to feed my soul. I'm surrounding myself by people who make me feel good. And then I'm giving myself that necessary alone time to just recharge.
What has been the most useful piece of advice that you feel like you've received thus far in your career or in life, period?
Yeah. I would have to say, being okay with taking the stairs instead of the elevator. And that was something, you know, I've heard recently, again, through listening to another podcast, but it's something that's kind of been repetitive to me. Even when I was working with Paul, at the beginning, I just thought, okay, I'm going to be this relationship expert. I'm about to take this industry by storm. I'm going to be the best thing coming. And I'm going to be on Steve Harvey's couch next month. No, man. That didn't happen. And that was my mindset, though, at the beginning, you know, because on social media, we look at people and we see this, what we perceive as instant success, and it's just not how it works. And so I just thought coming into this, you know, world of entrepreneurship that I was going to be the bomb.com tomorrow, and that just did not happen. And that was a big part of the challenge that I had and frustration that I had earlier on as an entrepreneur. But I realized that I got to trust the process and got to get comfortable and have peace with taking the stairs, because my journey is different than someone else's journey. Mm-hmm. You know, just because, you know, another girl was able to get something a lot quicker than me, that's her journey. That's her step. But the good thing, which is what I realized, is that because that door opened for her, the door that's necessary for me that has my name on it will most likely open too, you know? And so just being comfortable and having peace with taking the stairs and not rushing the process and really getting all the stuff that I need to be great in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that process, during the process, is what gives us the things that we need to be great, it's what prepares us to sit on the couch with Steve Harvey and stuff like that. And so I'm not in a rush anymore, and I'm enjoying the process, and I'm excited about the people that I'm working with and the impact that I'm having in their lives, because that's what really matters, right? Mm-hmm. And so, so just getting comfortable with taking the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So speaking of the, let's say, the uncomfortable stuff, have you made any, or have you found yourself making any missteps in business that you later realize, like, this was actually a good learning lesson? Like, I don't know if you want to say, like, I'm glad this happened, but you know, it happened and you realize it to be a good learning lesson. There's nothing else.
Girl, there's so much that I can say. I think that.
Okay. Give us one.
Yeah. Well, one thing is that I would say yes to everything and everybody. Like, I am just I'm a really nice person. And if someone's like, oh, you know, I have this great idea, we should do this. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And it doesn't always align, and it hasn't always aligned with my mission and who I saw myself and my brand and where I saw myself going. And so I found myself in business relationships or collaborating with people that actually hurt me as opposed to helped me, because we were on two different levels, in two different spaces. And not to say that what they were trying to do was bad. It just wasn't in alignment with what I was supposed to be doing and where I saw myself going. And so just being very careful about the people that you say yes to. You know, it's great to want for people to want to work with you, but you want to make sure that you're working with the right people. Mm-hmm. And I made a mistake in just saying yes to everybody because I was being nice. And I realized that saying no doesn't mean, you know, that you don't like them or that you're being, you know, you don't believe in what they're doing. You can find other ways to support them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you guys need to collaborate in order to support them in whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point, because when you're working in this, let's say, entrepreneurial or independent lifestyle, everybody's trying to get it. Everybody's yeah. trying to get it. And it looks different, but sometimes it looks the same, you yes. know, and you will find yourself met with a lot of, let's say, asks. Because I hesitate to say opportunities because not all of them are opportunity, yeah. you know? And sometimes yeah. it's an ask, but once you start to get, and it takes a minute sometimes for you to get the clarity on who you are in your space, what your expectations are for yourself and your business and your career, and sort of like what is in alignment for you. Because sometimes things may sound good, but in the end, it's not right. It's yeah. just not, it, or it ends up being a waste of your time, and yes. not a waste of your time in a negative way, like you're trying to knock what somebody else is doing, but time that is not spent doing things that you could be doing of true significance for building towards a goal over here that you're trying to get to, when you sort of like navigated off to the left somewhere and you're yeah. working on D goal and you're not even worried about D goal yet, you know? So yeah, it could be tricky. It could be tricky yeah. navigating yeah. this space for sure. So with so many of us being like ambitious and crazy following our dreams and stuff, as I just was talking about, you know, just opportunity here, business meeting there. Oh, I got to go and attend this conference and all these different things pulling us in 50 million different directions. Sometimes love takes a backseat.
Oh, yes.
It's not at the forefront. So I will speak for myself for sure when I say that I definitely tend to, like, more recently put love on the back burner because yeah. I'm just, most times, just like, I don't have time, you know yeah. what I mean? It's not like I'm trying to purposely, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time, but it's just like, no, I look up and the day is gone. So how does one, I know that on your website and your work, you say that you mentioned like dating on purpose. How does yeah. one date on purpose?
Yeah. So a part of dating on purpose is, the first step is knowing who you are, understanding your value and all of that good stuff, because those things allow you to become a better filter in the dating space, right? Mm. So that's a part of dating on purpose. You want to be a better filter. You want to stop selecting all the wrong guys and ending up in meaningless relationships. Know who you are, have a healthy standard, and stand by that. The second part is prioritizing it. You know, I think as women, we are so focused on developing ourselves and being self-sufficient and climbing the corporate ladder, starting businesses. And it's all great. And I think we should definitely do that. But I think there's also nothing wrong with putting the same motivation and ambition towards your love life. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to have achieved all of these amazing things and have no one to share it with. And a lot of us feel like we can't do them both. And we can. So if you want a relationship, you need to prioritize it. You need maybe put being social on the calendar. Maybe spend a couple hours a week on a dating site or on an app, because, you know, even though I'm a matchmaker, I still think that online dating and apps are very great. And I've had a lot of success with some of my own clients utilizing those resources. Mm-hmm. It's just about taking advantage of the resources that are there for you and really making it a priority. And then another way to prioritize it and really do it, even in the midst of all of this stuff, is being open to love looking and coming, you know, different than what you expected. You know, a lot of us feel like, okay, it's just going to pop up and happen mm-hmm. in the midst of us going to this meeting and appearing on this show and writing this blog post. No. Mm-hmm. You are invisible. Nobody's going to see you. So if you want to be seen, you need to make yourself be seen, and you need to be open to doing something different that might be outside of your comfort zone or outside of the schedule or calendar, you know, schedule that you've made for yourself for the week, and allowing yourself to be visible so that someone can actually see you and pursue you to then cultivate a relationship with you. So well, that's what I would say.
Girl, look at you just reading us. Well, let me say me.
But it's the truth. I mean, all of us say that we want it, but for yeah. some reason, we don't prioritize it or put the same effort towards it as we do every other area of our life.
Right. That's true. I can't even like deny it. I can't argue with you. I have nothing. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. So on that note, I feel like I know the answer to this, but have you figured out your why in life? And if so, would you mind sharing it with us?
Yeah. You know, and my why, and like I said before, I was someone who struggled with self-acceptance. I was someone who struggled with knowing that I was enough, with thinking that I was beautiful, and all of that stuff. I really, really struggled with that. And it took me a while, even into my adult years, to understand that I was valuable, and that I was enough, and that I did matter, and that I was lovable. And so that's a big reason why that was my first book. I mean, I could have wrote a book on 10 steps on how to find a man, but I thought that I needed to disrupt the matchmaking process. I really needed to discuss this topic because it's so important. And a lot of us, as confident as we present, we are not that confident on the inside. Mm-hmm. And we're struggling and we're insecure in a lot of areas that we would not tell. And so I needed to write this book, and this is a part of my why, because it was something that I struggled with and that I overcame. And I saw a major shift in my life once I allowed myself to do that, by first looking in the mirror and being able to face myself, then realizing that it's okay for me to be great and magical and awesome, because I am. And so are you and anybody else listening. Mm-hmm. And then not being afraid to show that, you know, and minimalizing that or watering it down because the next person may not understand and feel insecure about it. You know, a lot of times we withhold our greatness or, you know, the things that make us amazing and our talents and gifts because we don't want to make the next person feel bad. Mm-hmm. So a part of my why is to help women to understand that, man, you are amazing. You're valuable. You're enough. You matter. And to really get that, get them to believe that on the inside, because understanding that, owning that, and knowing that shifts every area of your life and really allows you to step into the fullness of who you are and embrace all of that. And so, even as a match, even though I'm a matchmaker, radio host, author, all of that stuff, at the end of the day, that is my common thread. That is my bottom line. And that is why I do what I do, because it's so important, not even just adult women, but for young women to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You just preached to us. So what does success look like for you, or what does it mean for you?
Man, that's a great question. Success for me is peace. Mm. Success for me is happiness. And success for me is legacy. Mm. Those three things to me matter most. I want to be happy. You know, I want to be able to wake up each day and have peace of mind and really have joy in my life. Mm-hmm. And then most importantly, I want to leave something for my grandkids and my grandkids' kids and all of that stuff that we have, you know, and not even just my kids, but the people that I speak with every day. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to impart something in them so that when I'm gone from this earth, they're able to say, I remember her. I remember when, because when I spoke to her, she said this and I never forgot it. Mm-hmm. And so legacy is so important to me. And so I know that I have reached success by being happy, having peace, and having my kids and other people that I encounter daily have a piece of something that I've been able to impart in their lives that will change their lives or change their mindset moving forward, and something that they can hold on to that they'll never forget or never lose.
Mm-hmm. Dominique, this has been so fun talking to you. Like, I just, there, my script, I went off it. Like, I mean, like, this is just like one of the most natural conversations, and I loved it. So thank you so much for joining me today and hanging out with me.
Listen, thanks for having me. Like I said, I'm a fan of your work and your podcast. So thanks for all that you do. And I'm just thankful that you had me on and I was able to share my story. And I hope that, you know, those that listen to it will be able to get something from it.
Thank you. And now before we go, quickly let us know, or let everyone know, where they can find you on social, on the web, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so definitely follow me on social at D Clark and Co. That's DClarkAndCo. And that's on Instagram and Twitter. If you want a daily dose of women's empowerment, definitely follow the She's Valuable Movement on Instagram and Twitter. That's at she's_valuable. If you'd like to learn about my book, about what I do as a relationship expert, matchmaker, and coach, you can visit dclarkandcompany.com.
Sweet. You guys definitely check Dominique out. She has obviously much more to offer. So you want to keep up with her and everything that she has going on, especially if you're looking for love.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dominique. And as always, you guys keep killing it.